Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and today I'm speaking with Diane Hessen, president and CEO of Communispace Corporation. Now, Communispace builds and runs private online customer communities, which is one of the fastest-growing marketing strategies for engaging with customers these days. So, Diane, can you talk a little bit about your views on community in general?
Sure, Paul. Well, you know, community is such a hot word these days. I mean, when we first started our company, people thought that community was, you know, just something that lonely women did in the middle of the night. And now everybody out there, all the way up to CEOs, are saying, let's have a community. So, you know, a community in general is online, a space on the web where, in this case, what we're talking about is you get customers together to actually have conversations with each other. And with a company. The main categories of community relate to a couple of dimensions. One is public versus private, there's large versus small, and there's branded versus unbranded. So a lot of people, when they think about community, especially in technology, think about these vast sites, you know, groups of customers online who are users of your software or users of your technology who come to this site so that they can essentially help each other. So they're talking about various applications, they're talking about competitive products, they're saying, I've got an issue here, has anybody ever had this problem, or whatever else. And it's like one big peer-to-peer help desk. And I actually think if you're a technology company these days, having one of those large, private, very often branded communities is great. What we do is a little different. So our communities are the other end of the scale. They are private and branded and much smaller. And you would use those for different reasons, just as sometimes when you're face-to-face, you want a very large group of customers in a room, and sometimes you just want to sit down with a much smaller group. So the key on communities is to look at when you would want them to be large or small, when you want to be very clear about whether you want your brand out there front and center or whether you want it anonymous. And public versus private basically means, can anybody get in? Or do you want this to be password protected, and do you want to have only a certain category of customer in there?
Very interesting, and I would assume you help guide, you know, the potential client as to whether it should be public or private or gated or not gated. I mean, that's got to be a whole decision tree in and of itself.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and of course, just like everything else, it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. Now, what we do at Communispace are private communities. So think of a community for us as 300 target customers who are essentially in a virtual room and who have agreed to provide you with advice and insight and feedback whenever and wherever you need the help. So this is a much smaller, more intimate, more engaged group. In our communities, the average customer spends about 30 minutes a week engaging in an average of three different activities. So these people are really, really involved in having conversations with each other. They're really bonded. You know, people call it deep engagement. So why would you do that? I mean, why would you have a very intimate, smaller, private community versus an online space with 100,000 customers? And it all comes down to your objectives. You'd use a smaller community for a number of reasons. Very often, you find that not all of your customers are created equal. So sometimes technology companies have lots of questions about what they want to do with their product, how they can be more effective at marketing, and so on and so forth. And they don't necessarily want to hear from all of their customers. They might want to hear from a certain segment. They might want to hear from their most important customers. They might want to determine that there's a particular industry or a particular type of customer in a certain role. So when there are certain customers who are more important than others, sometimes the way to make great decisions is to get the people whose opinions are really critical to you in an environment where you can have confidential conversations that you just wouldn't necessarily have with the rest of the world. And that doesn't mean you wouldn't want to have some large space where everyone can go, but in a public community where you've got everyone in there, say you have our average client, if you have an online community of 100,000 people, you probably get about 50 to 100 of those people who are really engaged and participating and contributing content. Whereas in a smaller community, if you've got a group of 300 customers, you should make the assumption that you're going to get about 250 of those participating. So it all goes back to the objectives.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, again, a tangential question, but I think very relevant to what you're saying. So in most technology companies, there has been a move in the past to have like a global advisory board, right? Now, these are mm-hmm. our select group of customers, existing customers, mm-hmm. you know, probably the largest spenders,
right.
you know, and inviting them to a special off-site where the CEO, you know, they get FaceTime with the CEO, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Right.
Now, is that sort of the ideal use? Are you saying that the mm-hmm. ideal use in a technology perspective would be, you know, a private branded community, but online now mm-hmm. that is a replacement for that ye old global advisory board?
You know, it can be sometimes. You know, if you have a business where you've got global customers that are spending zillions of dollars with you, you probably don't want to just manage your relationship online. So you do sometimes need to get them together. I think that, though, the Internet, just having a community that's online does give you certain advantages, even over that face-to-face, you know, high entertainment interaction. So one example is, companies will often say, gee, you know, we have two advisory board meetings per year. We have one in the spring and we have one in the fall. But our problem is that we really, really need the voice of the customer hardwired into our business, you know, in December when we're doing planning.
Right.
Or over the summer when we're getting ready to roll out a new product or whatever. So if you only have the meeting once or twice a year, and that's not when you need the information that really, from your customers that really helps you drive the business, then the voice of your customer is out of sync with your ability to make decisions. So that's one problem. You know, if you have it online and you're trying to make a critical decision, if you have a well-run community, you can get the answer within 24 hours and move on. So you really feel like you can use the voice of the customer. So that's one problem.
Wow.
You know, that the Internet solves. Another problem is sometimes when you have those face-to-face meetings, your very largest customers take over the conversation. And if you do want to drive your business just by the voices of the, you know, the 3 or 4 or 30 people who, you know, do most of your business, then having that face-to-face is great. But if you're trying to get a somewhat broader group of people, very often a community kind of helps neutralize all of that, so very often you can hear voices of people that you haven't had heretofore. And I think the other thing is just, you know, people, you know, when you have a chance to ask them questions and when you can demonstrate to them that you're really, really listening hard, it's great to be able to do that on a continuous basis because, you know, listening is just a really underrated marketing strategy. So time and again, we have these small communities where the customers feel very special. They feel like they really have a voice in the company. They feel like they have a line into senior management because maybe senior management comes into the community and asks questions or does a chat or something like that. And, you know, their loyalty can go up. They can end up actually having a much better, you know, better level of respect and trust for the company because of the fact that they've been part of this advisory board. So doing it on an ongoing basis is a great thing to do. And it's especially great in technology because, you know, technology executives are not going to say, you know, it's a bad idea to connect with me online because, after all, that's their world.
Right. Right. So what challenges are there in setting up a private branded community, and how do you do some of the recruitment? What's the bogey there?
Yeah, well, you know, the recruitment, most of our recruitment is done online. You know, in B2B, most of the time our clients already know the profile of the customers that they want in their community, and they have their email addresses, and we've been really more successful doing it online than actually through snail mail or telephone calls or anything like that. And essentially what we do is we kind of have a formula that we've developed, having done about 250 communities at this point, where, you know, we basically write a great letter to these customers where you would get a note that says, you know, usually from a high-level executive that says something like, you know, dear Charlie, you know that we've always been trying to focus on our customers and we're trying to take it to the next level. Here's what we're trying to do. We're building this very special community of people who are going to be insiders for the company. Here's the proposition. Here's what we need from you in return. Let us know if you're interested.
Right.
In a B2C context, you know, you get about 10% of the people who get that email in general are interested in being in the community. In B2B, you get much, much higher percentages because very often you have people who are very highly vested in the company.
Right.
So the key is writing the right email, being really, really clear about what's going to happen, being very genuine about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And, you know, that's really the secret, but it can be very effective online. You know, other challenges, you know, the key challenge is to figure out how you get very, very busy people to be willing to come online and be honest and open and creative and to spend some significant time with you doing that. So, you know, it's a combination of kind of how you lay out the site and make it easy to use, but also, you know, there is secret sauce to all of this, to how you find and screen members,
yep,
how you facilitate their conversations, how you demonstrate to them that you've listened, what kind of incentives you give, etc. So, you know, it sounds easy, but there's actually a lot to the notion of getting the right people and figuring out ways to get them to be incredibly honest with you and say things that you haven't heard before.
Right. I mean, time is the most precious commodity these days.
It is.
You were talking about, you know, real quality time, you know, mm-hmm, online. That's a tough commodity.
Yeah, well, you know, it always amazes me, but, you know, the other side of it is there are people have very little time, but it's amazing what people do spend time doing. You know, if they have a site that they love, how much time they will spend on there. If they have a TV show that they love, how much time they will spend listening to that, or a sport that they play. So the trick here is thinking of a community as engagement. And what we found is that people will, it's just amazing how much people will do for you if they feel that you are really listening and if they feel that they have an opportunity to really influence how you're going to do business. It's very hard to do that in a public community. So for us, if you're trying to build engagement, it's hard to kind of create a site, put up a couple of message boards, and, you know, call that a community where there's deep engagement. So that's, those large sites are great when you need your customers to help each other because it's reducing your customer service costs and things like that. If you're trying to have conversations that help you innovate, that help you improve marketing effectiveness, and so on, where you really, really need to understand the voice of the customer, what you have to do to circle back with them and to really give them airtime is different, but the benefits can be huge, and you can actually innovate faster and communicate better and run lots of things by this community that, you know, just make the company in general more successful. So, you know, it's very exciting when you can do it right.
Definitely. Definitely. So who typically owns the community long-term? Where does that sit in the organization?
Well, you know, it really depends often on the industry or the company culture. Usually in the beginning, there's one part of the organization that might really take primary responsibility for the community. It might be the interactive group. It might be an innovation or product management group. It could be consumer affairs. Very often it's someone in research or insights, or it might be just someone in the general corporate marketing area. And sometimes people will start a community with us and, you know, we'll do a pilot and everybody will chip in a little bit of money and everybody will have a chance to kind of ask their questions and observe what's going on and we'll send reports to lots of people in the company. That sounds a little chaotic, but I'll tell you, it's a great way to do it. And, you know, the ideal situation is that we get one person in the company that can kind of rally the troops and ultimately take responsibility for this. But although it sounds crazy to have lots of, you know, fingers in the pot involved in this, it's actually great because when you have all of those different functions, there's so much to talk to customers about. So, you know, it's fun to go into a community as a customer and have input into a new product and then a couple of days later have to check out an ad campaign or read a white paper or help the company change its website or analyze the pricing policy or go mystery shopping or analyze the competition or. So the richness of what you can do with customers is pretty big. And if everybody's in there, you know, it's just very interesting for customers rather than a community in which the customers are just helping the interactive people do a better job online, but where no one really wants to talk about the product.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, Diane, I thank you again for your time. I think this was really helpful. I think my audience will really appreciate that. And, you know, for my audience members, if you're interested in learning more about Communispace, I suggest you go online at www.communispace.com. That's C-O-M-M-U-N-I-S-P-A-C-E.com. And thanks for listening.